All right, let's lean into some positive Monday energy. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Good morning. Thank you for being here. I'm very excited about the next 2 hours. And if you're excited enough to pick up that phone and dial those digits and talk to the executive producer, Ryan DJ El Guapo Hickey, and get on the air, we have a phone number for you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN, or it's fine if this is the case, you prefer the typing to the talking, sports writer over on X, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Ryan Hickey underscore number 3. Ty Dunn's going to be on the program, amazing NFL writer, does a great Substack, just had his star turn in our business, a guy named Andrew Marchand covers media, did a podcast appearance with him to talk about all of his success, so we'll talk football. We're also going to let Ty Dunn get, we're going to give him some of his flowers, all right? Got a bouquet or two ready for our guy coming up in an hour. We'll do buy or sell. Scottie Scheffler won the Open Championship across the pond. Really running away, not really in doubt. We'll talk about how amazing this guy is and how impressive his work-life balance is and why it's going to be hard for him to ever be Tiger Woods in a pulling a audience Q rating kind of way, and probably a golf way too. But great weekend from Scheffler. We'll get into where he is, what he represents in the game. The WNBA. Man, is there, I know we live in a time when people of all walks of life, of all political persuasions, have trouble having honest conversations. Is there anywhere where that's more true than the WNBA? I feel like every person talking about that league is doing their best, including people in the league, to do it disingenuously. WNBA players had a rallying cry moment where they wore shirts pushing their, I get it, we all want money, their attempts to get more money in their next collective bargaining agreement, and then things, as they tend to in the WNBA, went off the rails. We'll talk about what's going on there, and yes, it involves Caitlin Clark and unnecessary shots at the golden goose. By the way, not all geese are worthy of it. But a golden goose is a golden goose. I happen to think Caitlin Clark's talented. What makes a talented goose? I don't know. But treat the golden goose well is probably a good philosophy. All right. A lot of stuff to get into. One of the things that I love about doing this job, and I've been doing radio here on this network, what is now the Infinity Sports Network, going back to 2017, is there are certain topics that are always going to be real. They're going to bubble up. Shohei Ohtani is transcendent. That's one. Patrick Mahomes is the truth. That's two. Steph Curry is a lot easier to root for than LeBron James is one. There's a bunch of them. And Jerry Jones is always going to pull a Jerry Jones. And by the way, Jerry pulling a Jerry, not a good thing, not a positive thing, it's a bad thing. And in this NFL offseason, in the afterglow of the TJ Watt, I think mega deal is a fair thing to say. $41 million a year is the most money in the history of the sport for a non-quarterback. Second time he's gotten that deal. In the reverberations, did I say that word right? I don't know. The echo, the after effects of that contract for Watt. And I don't think it's going to work for the Steelers, but you know what? It can. I can be wrong, and the Steelers can be outstanding. In the afterglow of all that, what we remember is Jerry Jones is awful at his job and is a detriment to the Dallas Cowboys. And whatever greatness or excellence he brought to bear as the owner of, I say this with sarcasm, but also a nod to the fact that it used to be true, whatever he brought in a positive way to America's team is over. You know, one of the things about great ownership, and Jerry Jones no longer qualifies on this list, one of the things about great ownership, or terrible ownership for that matter, is that it is much more normally lasting the life, the duration, the life cycle, the benefit or the problem than an athlete's run. Look, I love Patrick Mahomes. He is amazing. He is incredible. He is incredible. Long after Patrick Mahomes is retired in golfing, it is likely that Clark Hunt will still be running the Kansas City Chiefs very, very effectively. And long after Jalen Brunson has retired, it is likely the owner of the Knicks will be doing everything he can to confound that organization. Jerry is the reminder that nothing's forever, that the disease of Moore doesn't just apply to athletes, and that as you get older, or you get richer, or you get softer, or you just get lazy, or whatever it is, you lose your edge, you can screw up your team. And that has been true for the Cowboys for a long time, and there's a very clear reminder in the week's news. Because TJ Watt's deal, right, it does many things. It largely, as it always does at certain positions in the NFL, resets the market. If you are a wide receiver and you are a top wide receiver and you want to make $30 million a year and some guy that's at the same level as you gets $32 million a year and you haven't signed your deal yet, guess what? You're going to get more than that in almost every circumstance. And Micah Parsons, who doesn't have an extension, who wants one, who despite the obvious problems with this, if you want to win a championship, sounds like he wants to be a Cowboy, went on 6 Feet Under, which is an ironic name for a podcast, considering that's kind of where the Cowboys have been over the last 15 years for Jerry Jones, and said the quiet part out loud. The thing that underscores Jerry Jones as a problem. The thing that underscores, for lack of a better term, I'm not trying to be rude or hot takey, it shows us the incompetence, literal incompetence, of how the Cowboys are run. Here is Micah Parsons telling us on the 6 Feet Under podcast, which again could be named for the approach and strategy of the Cowboys, not the podcast itself, that he wanted to get a deal done last year.
We wanted to do the contract last year. It was just kind of like we wanted to do Dak and CD, and then you go out there, perform again, and then, you know, you would think, like, all right, we'll get it done early. We know there's some guys that's about to get ready to get repaid, like Miles, you know, Max is gone. So you would think, like, hey, let's get ahead of that, you know what I mean? I just never understand, you know, when guys come into the league and they're consistent and they, you know, they perform well, why they got such an urge. But then there's guys that just have one good year or maybe two good years, and it's just like they get it right away. And now, even now, you got TJ and Max and all these other guys is getting paid, and you can't want us to take less because you just wanted decided to wait, you know?
Man, Jerry's going to Jerry, and here's how. Micah just told us, but let me draw some lines here to connect some of these dots. Had the Cowboys paid one of the best football players in the NFL when that football player wanted a deal, they probably would have paid Parsons in the neighborhood of $35 million a year. Since then, Max Crosby, $35.5 million. Miles Garrett, I'm talking per year numbers on the extensions, $40 million. We know TJ Watt just got a deal for $41 million. Jerry Jones just cost himself $7, $8 million per year by not recognizing that Micah Parsons is good at football and getting the deal done. And let me just draw your attention to how obvious this was. DJ El Guapo was spinning some truth records this morning, pointed out this isn't Tua Tagovailoa or Trevor Lawrence, whoever you want to point to, where it's like, maybe, kind of. I'm betting on what could happen, and I got to thread the needle between what he can be and what he is and where's our risk. This was obvious. Parsons had 12 sacks last year, making him the second player ever in the history of the NFL. Ever. Two guys with 12-plus sacks in their first four seasons. Let that sink in for a second. The second most important thing in the National Football League after a quarterback play is the guy that gets to the quarterback and disrupts quarterback play. It's the name of the game. And the other guy, because sometimes we throw these stats out and the guy's name is Bert Bartholomew, and like, put that aside. The other guy was Reggie White, who, look, I wouldn't, but if you were going to draw up a list of the best football players of all time, right? Jerry Rice is on that list. I tend toward quarterbacks. Tom Brady's probably at the top of the list. Reggie White's on the list. He's in the conversation. That's how good Parsons has been. Let's dive into the data a little more. Last year, the guy that could have been signed for basically 25% less than you're going to get him now faced the highest double-team rate in the National Football League. The guy got double-teamed almost 32% of the time, one out of every three snaps he was on the field, and still had the highest pressure rate in the NFL at 19%. He's doubled more than anybody else, and he still pressures the QB more than anybody else. So if Max Crosby's worth $35 million, and Miles Garrett's worth $40 million, and TJ Watt is worth $41 million, Jerry Jones, who needs to have a professional general manager, you know what? What do you pay a GM? I don't even know these days. $5 million? I'll take 500 grand and I'll give you these stats. And I'll hire Ryan, who gives me some of them. And we'll do it for you, Jerry. I don't want to say it. Come on, man. There's more. He leads Parsons, the NFL, in pressures at 126. And pass rush win rate, almost a third of the time again, since 2023. The guy's amazing. He's amazing. And just to remind you the economics of this, this shouldn't be rocket science to Jerry Jones. But sometimes, me included, we all make terrible mistakes. We make it. The key is to learn from them. No GM is perfect. No general manager, no person that runs a front office is perfect. Part of what you have to do is learn from your mistakes. Jerry made a huge one a few years ago. Remember the Dak Prescott, will they or won't they pay them stupidity? And the whole thing was, are they going to pay him? And it was the same thing with Kyler Murray. And we talked about it on the radio, and it wasn't a sexy take, but the take was, you have no choice but to pay them. Of course, maybe you shouldn't. Of course, there are risks. Of course, there are problems. Dak Prescott and Kyler Murray were not Micah Parsons, which makes it even more egregious that we're here with Micah Parsons again. But the fact they had to pay Dak meant just get it done quickly, because the price will go up. I know that. Inflation might be new in our world, but it's not in the world of the National Football League in negotiations. But Jerry waited and dithered and dallied and did whatever he does when he's pretending to run a football team. And in that 2024 offseason, before Dak signed his inevitable deal, Trevor Lawrence got $55 million per year. Trevor Lawrence is not a proven quarterback. Jordan Love got $55 million per year. Tua, Tagovailoa, maybe, got $53.1 million per year. And Jared Goff got $53 million per year. That led to Jerry paying Dak $60 million per year as week one of that season kicked off. What are we doing here? Micah Parsons is going to get paid. Dak Prescott, the $60 million cornerback, is the, I don't even know, 12th, I'm just doing 12th best cornerback in the NFL. 17th best quarterback in the NFL? Sure. Somewhere in that range. Micah Parsons is probably one of one. Maybe he's one of two or three at what he does in the National Football League. What's the old Mark Twain line? There's lies, there's damn lies in statistics. Okay, but it's neither a lie nor a damn lie to say that Micah Parsons and TJ Watt are remarkable game changers. They're game breakers. And Jerry Jones' inability to run a front office effectively is the reason the Cowboys haven't won a playoff game in what feels like a century. And it's been a generation. Generation of Cowboy fans just don't know what that's like. And he fails in all the ways that are in the margins and all the ways that aren't interesting or sexy or headline grabbers. But we know that. We know that because of the product. We also know that because he fails in the obvious ways. Okay, the Dak thing was idiotic. You should have not done it. You cost yourself money. But once you went through that, how do you not learn from your mistake? How do you not look at Micah Parsons and say, all right, this guy's an incredible player. He wants to be here. At the start of his season, he is on track. And I understand longevity is not the same thing as certainty. Like the idea of doing what Micah Parsons has done for the next 4 or 5 years is not guaranteed. But so far, he's on track to literally be one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the National Football League. Oh, and by the way, this is still on the 6 Feet Under podcast, which I just find it hilarious because Jerry's in the back of One Cowboys Way, just burying, you know, just digging a grave for Cowboys fans' hopes. That's what he's good at. Parsons talked about the fact that he's still ready. He's ready. Like, hey, Jerry, let's get a deal done.
We obviously want to get done early. We want that relief off our backs, but obviously, ownership is always going to make it drag out, make it more complicated than it has to be, lack of communication in that standpoint. But, you know, I just always say, God has me this far. He ain't done with me yet. So, you know, I just keep working, keep going. And then when it come, I'm going to be ready. But, you know, it ain't going to be no drop off.
Jerry Jones is a disease on the heartbeat of Cowboys hope. He just is. And by the way, in the little that I've been around the guy, and I've never been in the bus to drink the Budweiser or whatever he drinks with him, I like Jerry Jones. I also like Ryan, the executive producer. I don't want him to curate the movies that I watch, okay? So it ain't personal, it's true. And it's a reminder of how much we judge and weigh things in sports and in life, but certainly in sports, on a curve. what Baker Mayfield has done to be successful, and I praise him and we praise him. If Mahomes did that, we'd say he's a flop now, right? He won a playoff game or two and then went away quietly. And that's why I've got to give a little more credit to the Steelers than maybe I do, because we had these conversations about Pittsburgh where I say, and I think it's right, they're not going to win. It's desperate to go for Aaron Rodgers. They haven't won a playoff game since whatever it is, 2018 or whatever the hell. I got to remember this because it comes up so often. They're still really well run. They still haven't had a losing season in two decades. They still have invested, I think, properly. I don't know if it'll work, but properly in a receiver and in a quarterback and in their secondary and in a game changer, game breaker, T.J. Watt, and the money they gave him who wanted to get paid. By that, and I don't think it's enough, but man, if I were to apply the standard I have for the Steelers to the Cowboys, I would have to say they are one of the worst-run sports teams in the history of any American sport. All they do is sabotage the belief their fans used to have, and this is another reminder. So good job, Steelers. If I didn't give you enough praise, I don't think you're going to get it done, but the thing is, I don't think you're going to get it done, but I don't know. Could be wrong. You guys could do it. That would be cool. You could win a playoff game. You could win three playoff games. You could be, I don't think you will be, Super Bowl champions. You're well-run, even if I think your calibrations are a little off. The Cowboys are a joke. They're a disaster, and that's because of Jerry Jones. And the T.J. Watt deal, and Micah Parsons talking about this, underscores it. It underscores it. Why did the Steelers wait? Because they also had their price raised. Why did they wait? Because they didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to be there. They didn't know if they had a window that is now. They didn't know if there was a championship needle they could thread. And once they figured it out, and they pulled off some other moves too, they went to hell with it. Let's go for it. Let's pay the guy. What is Jerry doing? He's dithering. He's dallying. He's reminding us that whatever excellence he brought to bear when he bought this team and moved on from a legend and brought in Jimmy and ushered in an era where the Cowboys were amazing is long since over. He's a joke now, and so is the fact that Micah Parsons doesn't have a deal. All right, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. I'm going long on these opens because I like hanging out with you wherever you are. I'm enjoying it. It's great. It's fun. It's good to be here. Call us, 888-710-4476. Ryan Hickey, DJ El Guapo, who used to think that meant ugly DJ. That's It doesn't mean that. It means the opposite, but I wish I'd gone DJ El Feo and just, you know, he would have known the day. I would have been like, that's handsome. It's not. DJ El Guapo has a story to tell, a little storytelling moment. I'm going to do a little mini braggadocio Monday, and then we're going to just criticize every single person, including maybe you, associated with the discourse over the WNBA. All that coming up. It's going to be magic. Next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Is there a term for it, by the way? Is it skying?
Am I supposed to call Xing? I don't know. I'll tweet on Blue Sky too. I'll sky? I'm not going to sky. Yeah. I'll fly?
You'll tweet. Yeah.
I'll bluey?
Hold on, I got to send out a quick to this reaction.
Blue Sky, it's BSing.
That's good. You know what?
Thank you.
Bye.
I did it.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Good morning, Ryan Hickey. Can I tell you something that just hit me? Just smacked me in the face.
Yes, please.
So as you know, I'm going on vacation today, so I won't be here the rest of the week. And the audience is very fortunate that you're going to be able to fill in several days as a host. I'm excited about that. Why are you laughing? I'm being serious.
No, I know you said that definitely not sarcastically.
It's not sarcastic. I think you're great. It occurred to me, Lori and the kids and I have done this trip many years. We're going to road trip up the coast of California, kind of bop around some different places. It's beautiful. It's the first time in my life ever where both my kids are teenagers. And man, did they act like it last night. So it just hit me. I'm hoping everybody's nice to each other.
How long is the car ride?
Well, we're breaking it up. We're going to do a little... We're going to do 2.5 hours today, get some lunch, another 2 hours. It's on the coast, right? So you stop, you look at seals, you get some food. I don't know what. Sea lions, I don't know the difference between those. I think one's bigger than the other. And then we're going to stop. Then I guess tomorrow we'll drive somewhere else for, again, up on the coast, 3 hours. Then we'll stop for a couple days, chill. So we're just breaking it up. Nothing more than 3 or 4 hours at a time.
That should be good. Yeah, my sister right. And I, when you take like, 7-8 hour road trips, that's when... The crankiness starts. The attitude really kicks up. Are we there yet? What are we doing? Do you know where you're going? So at least you're planning out to where the teenage attitude, I guess, is minimized.
We're at the phase now where my daughter, who I love very much, who just turned 16, whatever my wife says is the dumbest thing that's ever been spoken on the face of the earth, ever. And my son, who just turned 13, goes, oh, this is how we interact with adults now. You're an idiot.
Oh,
it's really fun.
Boy.
It's really fun. You had a story to tell.
Yeah, you're going to hate me. You are really going to hate me.
Too late. I'm already there. No, just kidding. I could never hate you.
Well, hate me even more than you do.
Okay, got it.
You rightfully do get on me for my lack of culture, specifically when it comes to seeing movies. And my excuse was I'm always watching sports at night. I don't have a lot of time to watch movies. So over the weekend, Lauren and I were just kind of hanging out. We didn't really do anything. Friday night we were home. Saturday night we were home. So I said, okay, Mets stink right now. What else could we put on to watch? So it was one of those nights where I had an opportunity to watch a movie and cross one off the list. Now, to defend myself a little bit, the first movie I did throw out this, we should probably see it. It got good reviews. I know you liked it. Sinners.
Sinners is great.
Too scary.
It is scary.
So that was crossed off the list.
Who doesn't like the scary movies?
We both do not.
Neither of you do.
But like, I'm more of like the, I guess like the serial killer, like that's kind of scary movie for me. I'm no go on, but like other things.
Really?
Yeah, that's not for me.
Because this is scary, and there's jump scares in it.
Oh.
It's a little bit of both.
Oh, I did not. Okay. Jump scares are not really for me. So probably on the best. Okay.
It's a great film. Okay.
That was crossed off the list pretty early. Then I tried to get her to watch The Rehearsal with Nathan Fielder. You ever see that show?
No, don't know what that is.
You never seen Nathan For You?
No, I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Okay. No. Oh, he's kind of a comedian. Anyway, that lasted about 10 minutes and she shut that off. Then we watched the Osama bin Laden documentary for about 10 minutes.
Nice little uplifting. Friday,
and
that
was shut off before he settled on Tires. You ever see Tires with Shane Gillis on Netflix?
No, but Shane Gillis is very funny.
That show is very funny. The point is, I had four opportunities to watch a movie that I did not see and that is probably critically acclaimed, and we went 0 for 4.
Why didn't you just throw Batman Begins out there?
I don't think she'd be interested in that.
Why not? It's a great movie. It's a love story between a man and his love for dressing like a bat.
I just did not think the setting was correct on a late Friday night. Maybe we're like, also, I will say, as we got a little later in the night, I'm like, am I going to be able to be locked in the whole time? I'm not sure. So we kind of switched from movie to TV show, but it was an opportunity to where I could have capitalized on my lack of culture and swung and missed.
I'm going to give you, well, your culture is great. You're a music aficionado. You're DJ El Guapo. You're not exactly a Spanish speaker since you thought that meant you were ugly DJ, but that's okay. But yeah, we all have shortcomings, right? We all have blind spots. Yours is movies. That's fine. I'm just trying to give you some good movies because I used to work with someone who you remind me of. I mean, you guys could be twins. Stu Kovacs, who's our colleague here. And he used to not watch movies or leave his house or generally speak to people. And we worked on all those things. And now he's out there in the world wearing hipster, you know, outfits, dating some twin, you know, watching films, living the dream. He's a different guy.
He's a different guy. You really broke him out of his shell. He's dressing different. Looks great.
He is. I once took him to a dinner in New York City. This is a true story. And I had a long-term girlfriend. And I sat across from him. I go, you got to break up with her. And I'd never met her. And he got really offended. I go, you got to break up with her. Or just start dating other people.
And look who... Take another girl to a Coldplay concert. Open up your horizons.
Look what happened. All right, so we didn't get to the... I'm going to do the WNBA in a second. We're going to get to it, I promise. I just want the time and the runway. Can I do a little braggadocio Monday here? It's July. There's nothing going on. A little braggadocio Monday.
Ready.
You can see this. Now, the audience can't because it turns out radio is not a visual medium. This is a medal. I got second place in a tennis tournament this weekend.
How about that? Wow.
Big crowd, too. And we got our behinds kicked in the second set of the final, though.
What was the
we had some ringers.
Championship?
Well, I'm sorry you brought that up.
Was it like the Wimbledon final?
We were up 5-2 in the first set, and we then lost 11 consecutive games. So we lost 5-7, 1-6. So you're supposed to self-rank at certain levels, and I'm a relatively highly whatever. Like I'm fine, and people I know who are my level played a level below, so they just win. But we didn't want to do that, so the people we played were definitely a level above us, and they were. We could have beat them though. We had them.
What happened? What unraveled?
Well, they were much better than us, and I think they. But I am a, if I may say so, I'm a sneaky kind of. I got a little winner in me, right? I had a little like. So we kind of punched them in the mouth to start off. They had no idea how it happened, and then they were like, okay. They also were pretending to be at our level, and then they basically stopped bleeping around and started serving and playing the way that they should have. Because then it was very obvious they shouldn't have been in this category, but they didn't want to lose to these schmoes.
Interesting. So does that? That's kind of cheap. Are you proud of the medal then?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was walking. Yeah, people were like, "Congratulations," and I go, "Yeah, it's a loser's medal." And then, like, the third person got offended. I just started saying thank you. Not really. The answer is no. I didn't. No.
And how many people were in your, I guess, bracket or your level?
I don't know. We didn't have to. There were buys, and they ranked people, so we only had to win a few matches to get there. So it wasn't that difficult. Honestly, it wasn't that hard to get there.
Okay, still. Hey, second place is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you going to go back to the tennis club and show the boys the medal? What did you boys do this weekend?
Yeah, no. Well, it's in the news. It'll be in the local stupid newspaper. So I just like a picture of me in an orange shirt. I wear very flashy colors when I play, and I wear a headband.
So you're the tennis version of Ricky Fowler. You're just bright, like a highlighter.
Yeah, very bright. Because the thing is, I wear a headband and I wear these wristbands, and everyone thinks it's style. I just sweat a lot. I play table tennis, and the shirt is soaked.
Wristbands and headbands.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, all the colors.
Do you wear rec specs, too?
Shorts? I used to.
High socks?
As you know, I am not one who would be confused with an Adonis. And I am not necessarily, what is the word that I'm looking for, in the best shape on the face of the planet. So I used to show up for league matches against, because I live in L.A. and I live in this community with all these alpha rich people, and they're all in shape and they all have trainers and maids. And I used to show up in shirts that were too tight on purpose because they couldn't adjust. It would lower their level. They wouldn't. And then when they started to lose me, they would press because, like, how am I losing this short fat dude whose belly button? I can see his belly button. I can assess if he has an innie or an outie. How am I losing it? So the headbands and the colors kind of contribute to the, yeah.
It's all a mental game. Tennis is a big mental test. I like it.
You know what else is mental? Golf. See what I did there? But you know what's not flashy? Scottie Scheffler. Why his win is great for him, of course, but not necessarily golf. After a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And Bill, this Sports Flash sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. The NFL Players Association remains a mess. Former player and current Chief Strategy Officer J.C. Tretter stepped down yesterday, facing some of the same criticism that Lloyd Howell was until he resigned as union chief late last week. Tretter is obviously no longer under consideration to be the interim replacement for Howell. Titans QB Will Levis needs season-ending shoulder surgery, further cementing Cam Ward as Tennessee's starting QB. Levis initially hurt that shoulder at the beginning of last season. He was still now dealing with discomfort. And the Chiefs have extended defensive end George Karlaftis for 4 years through 2030, $62 million guaranteed for injury at signing. All-Star Game starter Tarik Skubal hit 11 over 6 and 2/3. His Tigers held off the Rangers 2-1 on Sunday Night Baseball to win a 6-game skid. Yesterday afternoon, the Blue Jays outscored the Giants 8-6 to extend their home win streak to 10. And the Charlotte Hornets won the Vegas Summer League title last night, 83-78 over the Kings. First-round pick Con Knipple scoring 21. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Oh, Bill, great show, man. And I'd never heard of you before, and I'm a mailman here in Kentucky. I gave the show a shot, and I really like your format. I think Ryan does a great job for you, so I just want to start
off by giving
you props, man.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Man, that was such a great call until the Ryan does a great job, and then it just lost all credibility, Ryan.
I disagree. I think that was the best part of the rejoin, if you ask me.
I disagree, too. You do a great job. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty great. I mean, I shouldn't have listened to all the people who told me I had to hire you. It's just such a mistake, you know? Why all the downers in the building?
There's a lot of people against me. I don't know why. What I've done.
By all the doubters, I mean, what was wrong with Stu? All right. Look, Scottie Scheffler is an amazing golfer. What a champion. Seems like a great guy. Dominated the Open Championship. Can I give you a little pet peeve of mine? I am not grammar police guy, except on X. If you call me an idiot and you say you're an idiot and you misspell your, I'm probably going to tell you that you're actually stupid. But I don't need to do RBIs or whatever the hell I'm supposed to be saying. And can we just call it the British Open? It's not the British Open. It's the Open Championship, and it happens to be in Britain. Shut your face. That's kind of my general response to that. Can I? You tell me, though. You don't have to shut your face.
I'm with you. The right? Open. Come on.
The British Open. It's the British Open. All right, so he won the British Open. 17 under, 1x4 strokes. He joined Tiger. Pretty good company so far. Jack, Gary Players. As golfers win the Masters, the PGA, and the Open Championship before age 30. Look, the guy is amazing. And we know this. We've played this. We've talked about the fact that he has some balance in his life, right? That he is not obsessed with golf. He does other things. And he, even after the win, right, even sort of as a part of his experience, talked about the fact that for Scottie Scheffler, it's great that he's a champion again. This is his fourth major. But it's not everything, dude.
I've worked since I was 2 or 3 years old to have a chance to play professional golf for a living. And now I've been able to win tournaments that I just dreamed of playing in. And it's an amazing feeling, and I'm so grateful to be able to live out my dreams. But, you know, like I said, my faith in my family is what's most important to me. And I try to live as normal a life as possible because I feel like a normal guy. I have the same friends I had growing up. I don't think that I'm anything special just because, you know, some weeks I'm better at shooting a lower score than other guys are.
He might be a normal guy. I love that. He's not a normal golfer. And he is special, at least on the golf course, in a way that other people aren't. He is the first golfer since John Henry Taylor. Remember I said earlier in the show, we'll sometimes throw out names and be like, I don't know. John Henry Taylor, remember? Back in 1871, you don't remember this? When he was the first to win his first four majors by three or more strokes in each of them. He's been dominant. And if he gets if he wins a U.S. Open, which based on form, you would think that he will. He's 29. He'll become the seventh player ever to complete the career Grand Slam. He's one of the great golfers of all time. Now, he's got four. And we've seen guys win a few of these and then stagnate. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to rain on the parade here. And I like watching Scottie Scheffler play. And more than that, I like him. I like him as a person. He has perspective as a man. He talks about his family and how that's important to him. For him, his faith, you heard, is important to him. I love all of that. And over the weekend, something was bothering me about my view of Scottie Scheffler. And it occurred to me, he's just not captivating. He's not a captivating force. And maybe he should, maybe if you play golf a lot, because I used to, I don't as much, maybe he is for you. But he's not a crossover star. And I have a couple friends. I have a couple friends. I'm lonely. Of my many friends, a couple of them are incredibly kind, great fathers, great people. They're great human beings, and I can only hang out with them once a month. Because they're great, but they're not interesting, right? Do you have some of my friends, I'm sure you two, are really interesting and funny and edgy, and some of them are great people, but maybe can be boring. Sometimes there's some crossover. My point is that sometimes in life, and certainly in the athletes and the stars that captivate us, sometimes you need a little obsession, a little edge, a little tiger in your life to sort of pull you in. I don't know about you, Ryan, and I don't know what the ratings looked like. I didn't find myself drawn to Scottie Scheffler. I watched it out of sort of vague interest and maybe even sports guy obligation, but Shohei Ohtani's doing something that's even just basic, let alone mesmerizing, outstanding, like what Scheffler just did. I'm watching. Caitlin Clark is playing some random game, and my family, who have been watching her since she was at Iowa, they have season tickets to both men and women's Iowa games, text me, Caitlin's got 17 points through two quarters. The game's on if I'm not already watching it. Patrick Mahomes is playing on a Sunday, and there's a bunch of other games on it. For me, it's West Coast 10 o'clock window. It's the game I'm watching. I don't care who they could be playing, the Raiders. It doesn't matter. I don't feel the same pull on Scheffler. Did you this weekend? I love the guy, and I'm rooting for him, and he's great. I don't feel mesmerized.
This weekend specifically, I did. Because I don't know why.
You felt mesmerized.
I did. And, wow, okay. Or maybe not mesmerized, but like drawn to. Drawn to more than normal. I feel like with golf more than any other sport, like, I don't know why. Like, I'm just drawn to players. And Brooks Koepka is like one of my favorite, or at least was before he went to live, favorite golfers. Like, the guys that just don't care, quote unquote, and they could still just dominate. Like, just go out there, all right, whatever, I'm just going to, you know.
But I think he cares about golf.
No, he does.
I think he has perspective.
He does. But it's like, it's just, I think so many, you know, athletes make it their entire identity of, I need to be known as the best ever, or I got to win this tournament, so this is what I'm known by, more than like how you act off the field or off the court, whatever. And so Hendon basically had that perspective of, golf is great, I love it, but...
But how, is that a draw for you?
I don't, I mean, it's just like, it's almost like nonchalant, like you're so good at it, and like, I don't, again,
you
I don't
watched
know, you
him because
care.
He's nonchalant?
Yes. I think it's very weird. Interesting.
So I'm going to give you a comparison that you're not going to know what it is. You're not going to know who this person is. His name is Tom Cruise. He's a movie star. Everyone else knows who he is. I know you don't, okay? Tom Cruise, as it relates to being a movie star, is a psycho. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean he's obsessed with movies. All he thinks about is movies. When he talks about movies and his stunts, he gets this crazy, weird gleam in his eye. He is a freak when it comes to movies, just like Tiger was about golf. And I miss that. And by the way, I don't think I'm alone here in recognizing that Scottie Scheffler's balance and the health with which he approaches his life and the humility with which he approaches it is great for Scottie Scheffler, I would imagine, the husband, the father, the dude, the friend, the neighbor. I don't think it's great for golf. And it's not just me. And this wasn't said as a put-down, but I still think it's revelatory that Jordan Spieth, who obviously front and center is watching Scheffler do what he does, I think sees the same reality that Scheffler is an amazing human being. That's what, by the way, that's always the priority. But he's not necessarily a crossover star.
He doesn't care to be a superstar. He's not transcending the game like Tiger did. He's not bringing it to non-golf audience necessarily. He doesn't want to go do, you know, the stuff that, you know, a lot of us go do corporately, anything like that. He just wants to get away from the game and separate the two, because I know that he, you know, at one time felt it was too much that he was taking it with him. And, you know, whenever he made that switch, I don't know when it was, but, you know, to have, he has hobbies, you know, he's always with his family. You know, they're always doing stuff. So I think it's more so the difference in personality from any other superstar that you've seen in the modern era and maybe any sport. I don't think anybody's like him.
So he doesn't have there are some, not always, but there are sometimes a correlation between edginess or obsessiveness and being captivating. There just is. Even Shohei Ohtani, who you could try to sell me as bland, isn't bland. He had an interpreter who stole a bunch of his money and supposedly gambled a bunch of his money away. I mean, give me a break. Mahomes is a nice guy, and he's got a Kermit the Frog voice that kind of like lulls you to a sense of aw, shucks. But he's an absolute killer out there, and his wife and his brother are like interesting. Like, there's an edge to him. You can like him, not like him, but there's an edge. And I would imagine that edge that they have in common is part of what makes Mahomes great. I used to hate Tom Brady. Didn't you? I mean, we all did. Because he was a killer on the football field. And his likability now, I think, is understanding that the thing that made him despicable when you were up against him, you sort of respect with the old dude head nod now that he's not actually competing against you. Michael Jordan wasn't a likable guy at all. LeBron James is not, and I actually kind of like LeBron for a guy that doesn't like me, but a lot of you don't. There's an edginess, and I think to him there's a pettiness, but whatever, like, Scheffler's missing that need to be that guy, and that's fine. There's also been this sort of rising idea that he can be Tiger, that he's the next Tiger. He's not. Like, stop. And I'm not even talking about Q rating, appeal, the pull. As a golfer, he's not the same. I know, because I just told you, that if he wins a U.S. Open, and he probably will at some point, different kind of tournament than the Open Championships. We have two Opens now, the U.S. Open, but I can't call the British Open. I'm going to call it the British Open. Deal with it, England. The British Open is a link style is very different than the U.S. Open. They're absolutely different kind of courses. Scheffler's such a golfer, I would imagine he'll eventually win the U.S. Open. And he'll be, again, one of the seven golfers in the history of the sport to have won all four. He has four majors now at 29. Do you know how many Tiger had at this age? 10. Tiger had 10. They had to Tiger-proof the Masters when Tiger was basically a baby in golf standards. This is nothing against Scottie Scheffler, but this need, and I've seen some people out there, including some golf analysts, to say he can be the next Tiger, is, I think, grasping for the fact there isn't a Tiger, and they need a Tiger. This is a guy, Scottie Scheffler, and again, it's not a put-down. I love that he's focused on his family. I think it's amazing he's still friends with the same guys. I'm just not drawn to the dude. I guess Ryan is, but Ryan likes boring golfers and doesn't watch movies. So I don't know what appeals to him. I'm not sure what's going on over there. Ryan's the kind of guy when it's like time to go out and really get, you know, knock back some drinks. He's like, do you have cold water? I mean, that's how edgy Ryan gets. What is your drink of choice? You're going out with the boys, right? Your fiance is playing pickleball. It's ladies pickleball night. You're going out with the boys. What are you drinking?
If not beer, when I started drinking that I like, tequila water.
Tequila and water?
Yeah, in one.
So you water down your tequila?
Well, instead of like having like soda, like I'm not a big soda guy at all. So like instead of like, you know, tequila soda, it's tequila water.
But you take tequila and you put water in it.
That's right. So there's still like an...
But you're watering down the tequila.
Right, but you water down the drink anyway because whatever soda you put with it, it still waters it down.
Does it kind of enhance the flavor though?
I feel like the water enhances the flavor.
You think the water is a flavor enhancer?
It tastes good. Like, it's, yeah.
Okay.
And so it's a two for one. You get the drink, but also you get a little hydration, so the hangover the next day is minimal.
If I went into a bar and I ordered a bourbon and water, I would then walk into the bathroom and slap myself as hard as I could in the face.
Just don't you knock it until you try it.
That's what I would do.
On vacation this week, try it one time. I bet... Tequila, though, not vodka, but tequila. I bet you your world would be rocking.
Tequila and water?
Yes.
I like tequila. I'll just drink the tequila.
Okay. All right.
Why not just have a cocktail? Why not have like a margarita?
Because I'm not an on the rocks kind of guy. I'm not going to a bar and say, hey, give me a tequila on the rocks. It's not how I roll.
Get a margarita.
Like too much sugar.
Too much. You're not a sugar guy.
Not a sugar guy. Hurts the stomach, hurts my head. No bueno.
You don't like sugar. You don't like fruit.
I love sugar. But like a margarita, I have one. I can't have more than one. I'm not going to go out for one drink.
Oh, I'll rock the cocktails. Man, no wonder you're Scottie Scheffler. What do you like?
I
like to water down everything. I like the taste of water.
I'm exciting. I'm dangerous. I promise.
Do you put ketchup on your steak like Patrick Mahomes?
No. I'm anti-condiment.
Oh my God, that's right. You're anti-all condiments.
That's right.
Well, I have a theory of human beings that everyone's a total weirdo. And with most people, you can't figure out how. With you, we've gotten there pretty quickly. all right. Let's talk to Ty Dunn about some NFL happenings next. My goodness. On Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right. Away we go. Hour two. Bill Writer with you. I'm really excited about our next guest. I'm always excited about our next guest, but... he just had a well-deserved star turn in the niche world of sort of media coverage. A guy named Andrew Marchand. Is that how I say his name, Ryan? Ah, whatever. Andrew's not listening. Andrew Marchand, who basically is the guy that covers sports media, on his podcast had Ty Dunn on because Ty has turned GoLongTD.com, which is an incredible source of information, feature writing, insight, all kinds of NFL content, into a fully functioning, profitable machine of a business. It's relevant. It is robust in terms of the number of people that are on there. If you're not on GoLongTD.com, if you haven't subscribed, you should. It's not a lot of money for a whole lot of value. And Ty Dunn, who joins us now, was the guest who sort of talked about that journey and how he bet on himself. Ty, that was a great podcast interview, dude. And congratulations again on all your success.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for that, Bill. I always appreciate the kind words. I mean, I'd be honest. Like, back when I launched it, it was in November of 2020, I had no clue if people out there wanted to actually read a 7,000-word story with regularity and, you know, reach for the wallet, pull out the credit card, put in the number, kind of digest pro football and through a long-form lens. But, hey, they do, and our family is very grateful for all of that.
Speaking of your family, you just had baby number three. Well, your wife did. I know sort of the detail of how that works. But, like, congratulations, man. That's amazing.
Hey, thank you so much. Yes, Rocco is 1 month old yesterday.
Wow.
And doing great. So mom is healthy, happy. All three kids are fantastic. So, yeah, life's happening fast, right? All the cliches certainly apply, you know, zone defense, survive in advance. It is true though, but we're loving it, man. I mean, we've probably talked about it, but we've got the kids on Rocky right now. We've been watching a lot of Rocky lately, so that's always makes a dad happy.
I love it. Ty Dunn, founder of GoLongTD.com, host of the Go Long podcast, author of The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football, and currently on 13 minutes of sleep over the last 3 days here on the show on Twitter, on X.
That's true.
I've been there, dude. And I got two. There's 16 and 13. And at Ty Dunn. Ty, you are an excellent business person. That was clear from that Marchand podcast. I'm not sure the same can be said about Jerry Jones. And we were talking earlier in the show about how Micah Parsons on a podcast said this week that he would have gotten a deal done last year. Now, the price has almost certainly gone up. Crosby's gotten, what, $35.5 million. Garrett's gotten $40 million. T.J. Watt just got $41 million per year on his extension. What do you think Micah Parsons is ultimately going to be worth?
North of all of that? Because he's next in line. And you're absolutely right. It's mind-boggling that the richest sports franchise in the world, not just NFL, not just NBA, throw all the European soccer clubs in there. It's the Dallas Cowboys, that the people in charge of that operation can fumble this situation so badly. If people want to check it out, just Google, like, organizational rot Go Long. We got into all this at the end of last season, chatting with people who have been in that front office, who've sat at the table with Jerry Jones as he is, you know, making cruel jokes about his sexual escapades during the draft. That's neither here nor there. But, yes, the way that they do business is strange because of that. They just don't get ahead of these contracts. They never do. They feel like they can get a deal done on their terms. Like, this is the best deal for us instead of forecasting the market. If you believe in a player, you just need to re-sign that player the second that they're up for a deal. That's what Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles do. That's why the Eagles are in one state, and that's why the Dallas Cowboys are in quite another. It's they're two very different teams and two very different situations. But, yeah, I think that Jerry Jones, he might want to, like, take chances and gamble and do a lot of different things. But Stephen Jones is the one who's actually pretty frugal right now, and I think that these clashing ideologies are a problem.
Do you have any sense, Ty Dunn, based on your reporting, the people you've talked to? I mean, you just did an interview that made some news with a former Cowboys receiver. Do you have a guess on when Jerry steps away, when it's Stephen Jones, who is the ultimate decision maker, to what degree things will be improved or not improved in terms of the Cowboys front office?
Man, if I had the answer to that, whew, I don't see improvement anytime soon. It's hard to – we're criticizing the football element of this all, right? Because the business is booming. And Bryce Butler got into that, former Cowboys receiver that you referenced. I mean, he's been in that building. And it's – you look around, it's its own zip code. I mean, the star at Frisco, it's its own world. It's the brainchild of Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, everybody. So they're printing money, but it's all counterproductive. I mean, winning just isn't that important, right? Like Bryce said, at the end of the day, Jerry's looking at that bottom line. I see how much money that the Cowboys are making. It doesn't he thinks he's winning. Everybody's making money. Like, it doesn't really matter what they say about winning Super Bowls, winning this, winning that. If you cared about all that stuff, then you might not have these stadium tours going right by your players every day, treating them like circus animals, right? Like, I had a person there tell me the story of Mike McCarthy's at the cafeteria, and we've gotten into Mike McCarthy. He ain't perfect, right? Like, back to the Packer days. But, man, do I feel for him as the head coach of the Cowboys, where he's in the cafeteria between coaches' meetings, and, you know, coaches have, like, 10, 15 minutes to eat really quick. And, like, there's a ton of marketing people in this cafeteria, and they're all kind of BS and going on and on and on. There's people from this department, people from that department. There's tours going by. At one point, Mike McCarthy turned around to somebody and said, you know what? If I knew it was like this, I wouldn't have taken the job. And I think that he wasn't just kidding around. And it's like, yeah, you could say to Mike, you should have known what you were getting into. These stories aren't exactly new when it comes to Jerry and Stephen Jones. But I think it was even worse than he could have ever imagined. You know, Jason Garrett before him. It's a strange place, man.
Ty Dunn, yeah, it is. Ty Dunn here on the show, founder of GoLongTD.com. If you care about good work and you care about supporting good work, you think that it's valuable to read and hear and get information on the NFL that's interesting, insightful, new, legitimate, not tainted, go over right now, go to GoLongTD.com, pull out the credit card, subscribe, sign up. I do this for a lot of different places. For me, it's sort of tithing to the First Amendment, tithing to sort of good work. As a former newspaper guy, I think it's worth doing, so I hope you will. GoLongTD.com. And over at GoLongTD.com is all kinds of great work, including a recent profile that Ty Dunn, who's talking to us, did on Eagles GM Howie Roseman. And look, I know that GMs aren't as sexy and interesting as talking about Patrick Mahomes or Micah Parsons or T.J. Watt or Aaron Rodgers, but man, they are really important. And on the other side of the equation from the Cowboys, Philly has been a really, really well-run organization. They've been able to kind of hang in there. What has made that guy in particular, Ty, so effective and so able to, it feels like, do the hardest thing there is to do in football, and that is create some consistency in a league where everything's supposed to be calibrated to the opposite, right? To parity and an inability to dominate, especially if you don't have Tom Brady.
Man, you're absolutely right, Bill. I mean, I think Howie Roseman is, he's definitely learned as he's gone on. You know, I think about like a faraway lesson back with Andy Reid was still there. He remembers way back then when Andy just stressed the importance of keeping your own, right? Like, re-sign your own. It sends a good message in the locker room. And if you believe in a player, like we said earlier, re-sign that player. Get it done. So a little lesson like that. But then remember, he lost his power to Chip and then gained it back. You know, we could spend hours talking about why the Philadelphia Eagles are in this place. I mean, they've really built a juggernaut of a team, 1 through 53. Good luck finding a weakness. I think that, number one, though, it's ownership. Right, like they've got an owner who gives that green light to spend. He isn't scared of dead money like Stephen Jones is in Dallas. Like, they don't want to get caught up in paying people not to work in Dallas. In Philly, they don't give a damn. Like, they want to win Super Bowls. And I think it kind of plays into the inherent pressure. Like, we think that there's all this pressure around the Dallas Cowboys to win. It's all media generated. It's talking heads kind of creating that pressure internally. Like Bryce Butler said it on that podcast we did, there is no pressure, really. Like, there isn't pressure to win. There is pressure in Philly. I mean, it's real in Philly. And I think that kind of drives decisions. Look at how the 2023 season ended when they completely just collapse. Both coordinators get fired. Sirianni almost gets fired. He's coaching for his job in 2024. And I'll never forget Josh Sweat, who really should have won Super Bowl MVP, when we talked down in New Orleans a few days before the Super Bowl, he said, man, we wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't go through that in 2023. If we didn't lose all those games and those people don't get fired and we don't make the changes we needed to on defense, even personnel-wise, and completely reset the secondary, if we don't go through that, like, we're not sitting here. So I think that other cities, Dallas included, there's complacency and you're not forced to make the changes. And Howie is perfect GM to kind of drive those changes because he's unafraid. Like, it doesn't always work out. Can you imagine if they ended up getting Russell Wilson like they wanted to once upon a time? But, you know, they take these risks. They think step ahead. How do they get Jalen Carter 9 overall? Well, they fleeced the New Orleans Saints in a pick trade the year prior. Like, they're always just thinking ahead, put themselves in position to get those blue-collar players, pay their own when they're up for deals. And look, I mean, I think Howie just knows how to find a sucker, too, Bill. Like, A.J. Brown. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, they were the number one seed the previous season. Yeah, they didn't really want to pay Tannehill and Taylor Lewan and Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. So in comes Howie. Okay, here's the first-round pick. We will gladly pay A.J. Brown $100 million. And A.J. Brown has since even gotten another raise from that contract. So it all kind of does stem from ownership being willing to spend and then a GM being fearless.
Ty Dunn here on the show. Ty, Pablo Torre obviously did some great reporting on his show about the NFLPA. It has led to some serious changes. It feels like every 4 days now somebody is stepping down To what degree, if any, will this impact some of the things that are going on in the NFL? The push for 18 games, the obvious sort of give and take of players versus owners. Where does this story end, do you think?
Yeah, we wonder why in the NFL the owners seem to really run the show. It's playing out this week. The leadership that the union has always just been so piss poor. I mean, it's like they can't figure out somebody who, you know, played the game or is familiar with the game instead of just a litigator, an attorney. It gets somebody in there in power who knows what these players are going through and is going to fight for those players in a way that Demora Smith and Lloyd Howell were not. I mean, don't find somebody who's just going through thousands of dollars at the strip club. I mean, my God, everybody should read that story. It just blows your mind. But you got to find somebody who's actually going to fight for the stuff that you want to fight for and be willing to take it to another level. And I think that requires relationships throughout the league. And, you know, this isn't like the NBA where you've got a dozen guys on a team. You got 53 players on a team, a lot of rookies, a lot of vets, a lot of people in different walks of life making different tiers of money. But I think they have to get ahead of this now, find some leadership to really start having those conversations. If you have any hope of, you know, planning what you want to bring to the table when this CBA is up, it might seem like it's a ways in the future with 2030. That's going to come up a lot sooner than you think. So the NFL, hey, Roger Goodell, these owners, they're going to be ready. They've been ready. So the players better get their act together.
Ty Dunn, is there anything before we let you go that you're working on that people can look forward to over at GoLongTD.com?
Oh, appreciate that, man. Yep, we've got a profile live. Dalton Kincaid, I chatted with the Bills tight end at length about, well, that AFC Championship game. It was a tough catch, but you know, his 4th and 5, quote-unquote, drop might have been the difference between the Bills getting to the Super Bowl or not. Really opened up on all of that psychologically, what he went through physically, what he went through this offseason. And you know, Micah Hyde, of all people, is the one who kind of knocked some sense into him in the locker room after that game. I also have a podcast with Ryan Fitzpatrick, as you can imagine. Fitzy is amazing. Talked about everything from, you know, back hair to his Bills days to Josh Allen today. And this week I'll have a story on the Cleveland Browns. It's the air just is a little fresher there in Berea, Ohio, as they, you know, football-wise move on from Deshaun Watson, if not contract-wise. I think that they might actually sneak up on some people, win a few more games than folks think.
Ty Dunn, you're the man, dude, and I'm so happy for you and all of your success. I've been a fan. We all sort of discover the people that whose work we really like in different ways. And for me, and this was in the Wayback Machine, Ty, and I think I've said this to you, it was the Jared Goff story you did before Goff went to Detroit, if I remember right, when you went and hung out with him at his hometown, maybe some buddies somewhere in California. Was that for Bleacher Report back when they did actual journalism?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It would have been right after his rookie year. Remember, he got the snot beat out of him, didn't win a game,
yeah.
Sacked
yeah.
a ton. And we hung out and kind of got to know how tough he really was mentally, physically. And you know, things kind of turned on there in L.A. and since then Detroit. But oh, my God, thank you so much. You've always been so unbelievably
that was a great
kind
story.
On the show, and I hope we can keep doing it.
Oh, 100%. That was one of the rare times where I was, as a stubborn human being, you literally flipped my mind on Jared Goff. I used to, I'll admit this, make fun of him mercilessly, and then I read your story, and I thought, okay, this is I was wrong. That is a lot of insight. Ty Dunn, good luck with baby number 3. Good luck catching a little sleep over the next 4 or 5 months. GoLongTD.com is amazing. Congrats on its success. We'll talk a lot soon, and thanks, pal, again for making time.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. Ty Dunn on the show on the old X Twitter at Ty Dunn. Again, like it's a Substack. It's got lots of content. Ty does a lot of original reporting. I promise it's worth your time. I'm not just saying this. He's gone, and he's not listening. So I can say anything I want. I can be like, ah, it sucks. It doesn't suck. It's great. GoLongTD.com. All right. If he hires someone to be a movie reviewer, maybe he could hire you if he branches out to pop culture, Ryan. Because you'll be seeing everything for the first time. So if you have a concept where you want people to review stuff and see how it holds up, you're like Jaws. That movie is dumb. There's a shark. Why is a shark in the water? You don't even know what it's, you know? Like, oh, that's
who
iconic. You didn't
idea?
Even know. Who proved this? Who's Steven Spielberg? Steven Spiel stupid, huh? Yeah. All right. How's buy or sell shaping up? How are we feeling?
Strong, including a question. Testing your limits as a human being and your patience. Right.
My limits will be tested as a human being, and the president of the United States is throwing his weight around with a couple sports teams. We'll get into both those things and some other stuff on buy or sell next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I'm Bill Ryder, the Sports Minute. Bill Ryder's the best. Let's go, America!
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Oh, that one gets you every time. Welcome back into the show. Dude, you are crushing the music, man. You know what? Maybe you shouldn't watch movies. I have this theory. I have all these theories, right? I have this theory that is that if you withhold your bandwidth in your brain from certain things, like you don't watch any movies, maybe it enhances your ability to pump it full of a bunch of, in this case, music magic. You're crushing it, dude.
Thank you. I could subscribe to that theory.
Yeah. Subscription approved. Let's go. I got a little breaking news.
Breaking news.
Chris Paul has signed a reunion with the Los Angeles Clippers for a very small, paltry $3.6 million per year. It is a one-year deal. It sounds like it will be his final year in the NBA. Congratulations, Chris. Chris ain't my favorite guy, or I'm not his favorite guy, I should say. But it's an interesting addition for the Clippers. All right, let's do a little buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Let's start here, Bill, with that Chris Paul signing, adding Bradley Beal with James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. Buy or sell, the Clippers are the team to beat in the NBA.
Wow, look at you pull a little audible. Little blue 52, Peyton Manning, hut, hut. Or I did hut too soon because I wanted to keep going. 67.
Omaha.
That was so buy or sell, that was annoying back in Peyton Manning's.
Sell.
Come on. Boo. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, french fries, milkshake. Come on, dude.
He's a smart guy.
Snap the ball.
Gotta get the defense off kilter.
I will sell that this makes the Clippers the team to beat.
Sell.
This sort of feels like the Backstreet Boys coming back to do a concert when they're 70. I can't name a Backstreet Boys song or else I would have sung it a little bit. I mean, these guys are Harden, Kawhi, Ben Simmons, Beal. Are they playing in the Big Three League or are they playing in the NBA?
2010, this is a pretty good team.
This is a great 2010 team. Great 2010 team.
Does this have any impact?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I haven't done as much reporting on Chris as I used to. I know that back in his first Clipper stint, he was a great player. And whatever sort of his ability to craft a narrative, he was not well... That's not true. He was not well-liked, he was well-regarded. And his approach really grated on people. Maybe he's a lesser player, so maybe he has a lesser impact of being like... His version of being an alpha wasn't great, right? Didn't work. It could work. It's interesting. It's, you know, it's kind of throw it all against the wall and see if it sticks. I mean, if Chris can play at a high enough level, and if Ben Simmons can decide to play basketball with any excellence, and if Kawhi can be on the floor, and if James Harden can finally play well in the postseason, and if Bradley Beal doesn't look like he's 70, then maybe the Clippers are a top four team. Is that?
If some buts were candy and nuts, we'd all be happy.
I've never heard that before.
Really?
If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all be happy?
Yeah.
Mine is, and I always butchered it, if wishes were fishes, we'd all be kings. But I think it's if wishes were fishes, we'd never go hungry. Makes more sense. Why would we be kings? How back does having fish make you a king?
Did a lot of fish. That was probably the currency back then.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'll take that castle with what? 3,000 guppy. All right, what's next?
Bye.
Thank you.
The Cincinnati Bengals, their rookies reported to training camp over the weekend, Bill, and there was no sight of first-round pick Shamar Stewart. Now, Stewart's the only first-round pick that has yet to sign his contract, and he's holding out in case you forgot because of wording in his deal that could put his guaranteed money in jeopardy. Buy or sell, the Bengals should change the wording of the contract to get Shamar Stewart to camp.
Buy. So not to get too much in the weeds here, but the language that they're putting in is unprecedented for a first-round pick, and it would be personal financial malpractice to agree to this. This isn't standard operating procedure, and a rookie is trying to put his foot down and change how things work. It's the other way around. He didn't choose the Bengals. They chose him, and they're trying to change the rules of the game. I mean, if wishes were fishes, you know?
Jamar Stewart would be a Bengal. No. How about this? Cowboys Pro Bowl guard Tyler Smith is not worried about the future of Micah Parsons because he said this yesterday when talking about expectations for the Cowboys this season.
What are your expectations for this football team?
Super Bowl champions. That's always the expectation. So, yeah.
You think that's a realistic goal?
I think it is a realistic goal. Because we can win the Super Bowl. Like, why not? Why can't we win? Do you think it's unrealistic?
You think the roster is in place to do that?
I think it is in place to do that, yes, sir.
So buy or sell, the Cowboys are more likely to be a top five team in the draft than a Super Bowl contender this season.
Buy.
Buy.
I'm just trying to think how to nicely... I understand what he's doing, right? It's the old, we can do it. We can... So it's kind of an unfair question, right? Do you think your girlfriend is prettier than insert most beautiful woman on earth? What are you supposed to say to that? I had a guy do that to me the other day. Some like, I was like, oh man, whatever. Scarlett Johansson's hot.
Hotter than your wife?
Shut up, dude. No, shut up, man. Have another margarita. Have another sugar water with tequila. So I understand, by the way, yes, my wife is more beautiful than Scarlett Johansson. The Cowboys aren't good enough. The Cowboys aren't good enough to win a playoff game this year. And the NFC is down. It's not great. Let me ask you this question. Buy or sell, the Steelers are more likely to win a playoff game than the Cowboys?
Sell.
What? Oh, dude. Have you not watched football before?
I am down on Pittsburgh. I also think if you make the playoffs, like they're both wild card teams for the most part. I feel more scared about the top of the AFC than I would the top of the NFC.
Still, like the Cowboys aren't beating the Bucks. I'm trying to think who's like the best case draw that they can. They're not beating the Bucks.
And the Bucks probably are their best chance, honestly.
Yeah, they are. They're not beating an NFC North team.
Or an NFC West team.
I guess if the Bears got in, that would be just a race to the bottom.
You're saying if the Bears win the division and are hosting the Cowboys in Wild Card weekend, you're saying they're probably going to lose the game?
I mean, jeez. I'm a Bears fan, so I guess I'm not saying they won't. Yeah, who else? Are you talking like Seattle somehow sneaks? I mean, the Rams will beat the Cowboys.
49. I mean, I think neither team is going to beat them. Game. But like,
yeah.
For the Steelers, it's probably somewhat of, you know, you're playing the Bills, maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Ravens. I guess the Texans.
Beat the Ravens, beat the Texans.
It's tough.
Hope Miami overachieves. I don't know.
Oh, boy. Both teams are in big time trouble. Also, maybe give your friend a tequila water asking that question. That's crazy. Anyway, NFLPA Chief Strategy Officer J.C. Tretter resigned from his role yesterday. Now, Tretter is accused of hiring Lloyd Howell Jr., who resigned last week, as Executive Director of the NFLPA because he guaranteed Tretter a job. Now, the former Browns offensive lineman told CBS Sports that he's not resigning because the allegations are true, but instead because it's become too much for his family. Buy or sell, the NFLPA is in a better place today than it was last week.
Well phrased. Great question. Buy.
Buy.
Without weighing in on the accuracy of the allegations against Tretter, a clean out, a fresh start, a reset is and was absolutely required. And again, credit Pablo Latorre for his work.
President Trump threatened the Washington Commanders franchise over the weekend, threatening to interfere with their new stadium plan if the team does not change the name back to the Redskins. Now, he also demanded the Guardians revert back to the Indians. Both franchises changed their names back in 2022, and both have vowed to not go back on their decision. Buy or sell, the Commanders should change their name back to the Redskins.
Okay, so let me just full disclosure, I don't care. I don't care what their names are. I'm going to sell that they should,
sell.
Because they've already changed that. And I'll also say this, I'm not interested in talking about politics at all. But President Bush, President. I just did this in the wrong order. I'm a great American. President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Trump, President Biden, President Trump again, whoever the next president is. I have zero interest in any of those people dictating things in the world of sports. I would love to keep them separate. And so I'm just not interested in the story. I'm not interested in this fight. And I don't really care what either of those teams do. It's up to them and their fan bases. And there are market forces, right? If you're offensive enough and people are put out, then they'll react in the market. And so it's capitalism, man. But given the fact they've already made the changes, to go back, it just seems unnecessary. But I'm not interested in my politicians being involved in my sports or my sports folks being that involved in politics.
The Big Ten preseason media poll was released early this morning. Bill?
Oh, boy.
No shock. You ready? Hope you're sitting down. The Pens and Nittany Lions were voted as the number one team in the conference, followed by Ohio State and then Oregon. Now, the Buckeyes, to be fair to them, right, are the defending national champions.
Yeah.
But did lose 14 players to the NFL draft. Buy or sell, Ohio State is being disrespected by not being voted the number one team in the Big Ten in the preseason poll.
Buy.
Buy.
I'll say this. We're on in Pennsylvania. I actually like Penn State. To those of you out there, I'm just kidding. But Ryan, I had worked with him years ago where he was actually an Notre Dame fan, and then he flipped one day. He just flew, oh, no, I'm a Penn State fan. So I'm just going to give him a hard time for the entirety of the time that he works on the show, which, again, over under number 6.5 months. Buy or sell, I will be more insufferable if Penn State fails than you will be insufferable if Penn State succeeds.
Sell.
Okay. So we have some high insufferability levels one way or another coming this upcoming football season.
In part because you have this runway to kind of, you know, bash them. I can only really talk and be insufferable if they win, which has not happened yet. Right?
Yep.
At least you have the runway now until it actually happens, basically, to have free reign about what's happened in the past.
I haven't looked at their schedule. Do they play Iowa this year? I think they do.
I believe they do in Iowa City.
Buy or sell, if they lose to Iowa in that game, you will not come to work that next day.
Sell.
I showed up the next day when they lost to Notre Dame in the playoff game. That was tough. That was really tough. But I was there. I was there.
You're a pro.
Speaking of champions and great accomplishments, the Hornets captured the Summer League Championship yesterday.
Sell.
Sell.
Sorry to interrupt you. Was there a question attached?
Oh,
there's
a big
care?
Question coming.
All right.
Con Knipple, fourth overall pick, did lead the Hornets to the victory. He scored 21 points, named the MVP. How about the Charlotte in Summer League went 6-0? Buy or sell. This has some sort of carryover for the regular season.
I got it right the first time.
Sell.
I will sell. I couldn't care less. I don't care. By the way, there is no correlation of any kind, individually or team-wise, between Summer League success and real-life NBA career success. Just like when Kevin Durant and Jimmy McWhoever play a pickup game, Jimmy McWhoever hitting a bucket over Kevin Durant means he's going to play in the NBA next year. There's training, pickup games, Summer League. They can be good for you. Get in shape, work a little bit, right? Blah. There's no correlation between this discernible correlation and what actually happens in your professional career.
So to the city of Charlotte, you're saying maybe not plan on a parade in the middle of June next year is what you're saying.
I know that it is currently 11:35 in the East Coast, and therefore we're a couple hours. Maybe they got coffee an hour and a half into planning that parade, but I would just push pause on the work that began this Monday morning in Charlotte for that.
Well, someone who can celebrate, because he actually has won something, Scottie Scheffler. Won his fourth career major, cruising to the victory, shooting 17 under par to win, as they say overseas, the Open Championship. Now, the win does come on the heels of Scottie revealing this week that golf does not fulfill his biggest wants and needs. Buy or sell. This victory is even more impressive considering the comments he made last week.
Sell.
Sell.
It's how he approaches it. That's fine. I'm not sure it makes him more impressive. You used the word cruising as a verb, which made me think of something very random.
Okay.
Buy or sell, when you were growing up, your parents or friends of yours would use the expression, you're cruising for a bruising.
Buy.
I love that expression.
It does need to make a comeback.
It needs to make it. Although it is really a sort of rhymy, artistic way of saying I'm going to physically hurt you.
But it's like a warning, like, hey, buddy, keep it up. You're cruising for a bruising.
Buy or sell, in the last year at a bar, you've ever been cruising for a bruising?
Sell.
Okay. Really?
I mind my business.
All right.
I've gotten into fights before, but not in a while. Not in a while.
So you would say that in the past, other people were cruising for a bruising with you?
Yes. I've gotten into only one fight in my life. I did not start it. I really didn't end it either. But
did you win it? Buy or sell, you won that fight?
I mean,
sell.
Buy or sell, you lost that fight?
Sell.
Buy or sell, it was just a fake fight?
No, the cops kind of broke it up and it spilled outside.
The cops?
Yeah.
Did you get arrested?
No, because the guy was just like saying some disgusting things to, at the time, my girlfriend. He went to, like, when I was in the bathroom, cowered. He's like, they're all drunk, they're looking at us. It's just my girlfriend and I go to the bathroom. They start saying some just nasty things. She tells you about it. This guy's in the bathroom, so I wait till he comes out, get right in his face, confront him, start pushing him. He's bigger than me, so I did lose some ground. Thankfully, no punches were thrown, but it was a big shove off.
Okay, shove off.
Wow. Eventually, it spilled outside through the front door, and then like there's like 10 cops kind of standing right there. And then kind of broke it up.
Hello, officer. Got it.
So, I don't know about any winners or losers, but because I kept my dignity.
Yeah, you did. Proud of you.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we done? We got one more?
We got one more.
Okay.
Test your patience. The Pittsburgh Pirates had a sold-out crowd on Saturday, mostly because of a Mac Miller bobblehead giveaway. Fans reported lined up as early as 8 a.m. for the game that started at 6:40 in order to snag the bobblehead. Buy or sell, you would wait in line for 10 hours for a stadium promotion.
I'm not sure I waited in line for 10 minutes, so I'm going to sell that.
Sell.
No. Why? Just make enough bobbleheads for everybody that buys a ticket.
Well, that's part of the problem. Like, there's only, I don't know, the number is like 25,000 maybe for a 40,000-seat stadium. They never, ever make the giveaway for everyone in attendance.
Why would you wait? What are you doing?
Well, I think part of it was maybe the resale value. I saw those bobbleheads being on, like, uploaded almost immediately on like eBay for like $200.
Now we're at my time. $2,000 I'm here for it.
$200 for 10 hours? No, thank you.
No. I mean, $20 an hour, okay. It's not nothing, but just sounds like a miserable just sitting there? No. All right. We've gone too long. I apologize to the universe. Let's talk about the WNBA and the silliness surrounding a lot of the discourse after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
Bill, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, Chris Paul returning to the Clippers for what might be his final season. CP3 played for LA from 2011 through 2017, making an all-NBA squad in each of those six seasons. The Titans have not yet officially named Cam Ward their starting QB. We know he will be. Now there's less theoretical competition. Will Levis need season-ending surgery for a shoulder injury that occurred at the beginning of last season? Caitlin Clark missed the WNBA All-Star game over the weekend and will likely sit out tomorrow night's game with the Liberty courtesy of a right groin injury. An update yesterday from Fever head coach Stephanie White.
I think she's progressing. I think that we're continuing to address everything that needs to be addressed. She's going to see some doctors and get some more tests run early in the week.
Tomorrow would be the 12th game Clark misses for various lower body injuries. The Phillies have officially signed veteran reliever David Robertson. They'll reportedly pay him $6 million for the rest of the season. He reports to AAA affiliate. And the American Athletic Conference announcing a rebrand now going just as American Conference. No more AAC. There's also a new Eagle mascot named Soar. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Happy Monday. Just so you know, I will not be here the rest of the week. It's a vacation week, but I wanted to be here at least one day. I like doing the show, so I snuck this in today before we had a little vacay. And Ryan Hickey, DJ El Guapo, the artist formerly known as Trace, filling in the next, couple days?
Next 2 days, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I can't, you know what hurts my feelings? You didn't ask me to be a guest.
I figured you want to enjoy your vacation.
You figured properly. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all, and I would have said no. Who do you got on the show?
So try to figure that out. Trying to okay. do a little NFL angle, training camp starting. But TBD, so reason to tune in. Mr.
Very excited. About Ryan does a great job. You'll love what he's got to give you. And just if he goes to a Penn State thing, just stick with it. Stick through it. Stay with it. Don't give up. All right, so there's so much garbage and phoniness and disingenuousness when it comes to WNBA discourse. Let me give you the facts as they stand, okay? The WNBA wasn't relevant the last 10 years. Who cares why it wasn't? It is now. Caitlin Clark is a huge part of the reason. She is the catalyst. She is the main reason that people are paying attention. She's not the only thing worth watching. All of these things can be true at the exact same time. It is also true, and both these things are true, that the WNBA lost $40 million last year and that they are on the verge of making all kinds of money because, for the reasons I just mentioned, everything has changed. Record ratings, they're in the zeitgeist, they're interesting. People, it's a crossover sport. I cannot tell you how many sports fans I know who would never have watched the WNBA now are aware of the content and follow it. And I cannot tell you how many people are not really sports fans, are casual sports fans. My parents watch the NFL, but that's kind of what they watch, right? They don't watch a lot of NBA. They don't watch a lot of baseball. They watch every single Caitlin Clark game. Every single game. And that is the reason that there's a $2.2 billion media deal. That is the upcoming. That is the reason that if you want to start a WNBA team, the expansion fees are $250 million. And that is the reason with a new collective bargaining agreement that needs to be done because the current agreement expires, on Halloween Day, actually. My dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Papa. The players want a big chunk of the money. They don't get a big chunk of the money. So stop with your disingenuous, how come they lost $40 million? Why do they want more money? They don't want a bigger chunk of the last 10 years' revenue. They want a bigger chunk of the revenue that's upcoming. It's also true, I know pride gets in the way, that while Caitlin Clark's not the only person who is worth your time and attention, she's the reason that the other athletes who are worth your time and attention are going to get some of that time and attention. That's the fact. People are watching the WNBA, or at least got introduced to it, because of Caitlin Clark. That's a reality. That's a fact. She's the draw. Doesn't mean she's the only thing that's valuable. She's the draw. Think of it like golf. A lot of non-golf fans watched Tiger back in the day, and then some of them got into golf beyond Tiger Woods. There are baseball fans in L.A., there are people I know who kind of got out of baseball who got into it when Shohei Ohtani came here, especially when he went to the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman can be great. It doesn't mean he's the draw, necessarily. All right. And there was a movement at a shoot-around, actually it was a pregame, where all of the ladies donned these T-shirts, black T-shirts with white lettering that was pay us what you owe us. And Caitlin Clark wore one of these T-shirts, and this is where the WNBA gets in its own way. Look, I'm not mad at anybody for asking for money. I don't understand the discord. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. I have no idea if Ryan Hickey got a raise or not when he got this job. And I have no idea if he marched into the office of the bosses and said, pay me $5 million, I'm out of here. That'd probably be a bad idea. But there's nothing wrong with asking for more money. There's nothing wrong with trying to negotiate. I don't understand the frustrations. But here's the thing. You can't be WNBA players, let alone the vice president of the WNBA's Players Association, and be demanding what's right and asking for what you're worth and demanding the respect that you think that you have a right to and disrespect the person who's the reason that you can make this kind of money. Do you think every golfer on the face of the earth was able to swallow their pride when Tiger Woods came into the scene and made them all millions of dollars they wouldn't have made? No. Didn't make it right. People forget now the jealousy toward Tiger Woods back in the day. And Kelsey Plum is a very good player. She's not necessarily gotten along with Caitlin Clark on the floor. She is the vice president, the first vice president of the Players Association, the WNBA. And listen to this shot at this unnecessary comment that just speaks to, again, how so many people are getting their own way in the WNBA.
The T-shirt, just United front, was determined this morning that we had a meeting for. And, not to tattletale, but zero members of Team Clark were very present for that. But, no, we were just We had a very...
that really needed to be mentioned.
I'm trying to make a situation light, okay?
No, you're not. You're trying to take shots. But since we're going to tattletale, let me tattletale on something, too. Nobody would have cared what Kelsey Plum said or did on a basketball court at a level that would have made her money or her colleagues' money. Whether they deserve it or not isn't the issue if Caitlin Clark weren't in the league. Look, I don't know. Is there some, like, whiz kid professional lacrosse player that I'm supposed to pay attention to that spent their entire life training or an amazing athlete? Probably. In whatever professional lacrosse league only the family members and Ryan Hickey watch? Probably. But no one's been a crossover enough athlete that I care or that you care. And someday maybe that'll change. That won't change the fact there aren't. I'm sure there are worthy lacrosse players. I don't care about them, and neither do you. I'm sure there were worthy WNBA players. I didn't care about them, and neither did many of you, and now they do. So if you're the WNBA Players Association, maybe you should first and foremost just understand that Caitlin Clark is the tip of the spear of this thing you have to sell. And stop undermining her and beating the crap out of her on the court and taking shots at her. You want to get paid what you're worth? Maybe recognize the person. It's Caitlin Clark who has pointed to your value. Give me a break. On everybody, by the way, and the people saying they don't deserve it. Get out of here. All right. It's a Monday, it's a Friday for me. It's a weird little day. Great work from Ryan Hickey. He's filling the next 2 days. Can't wait to hear what he talks to you about. He's a really great radio host if you haven't listened to a Sunday show. So he's here the next 2 days. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Ty Dunn. I'm going to see you next week. But don't worry. Ryan's got you covered. And we hope you're back here tomorrow on Righter Than You.